Did we enjoy our session with Gareth and Ima? Almost enthusiastic, I mean, almost. Okay, so anything, and they literally said, you can ask them anything about what they've been talking about this morning. We don't need random questions. So is it, do you want me to run around and with a microphone? You guys want to come up on stage? You can ask them anything. So if you've got a question, is this one working? If I give you, I don't know how to turn them on, it's a microphone. So if you've got a question for Gareth or Ima. Oh, you didn't see that.
Thank you.
So if you just want to stick your hands up, we've got one straight up here.
Morning. I just wondered if you would be able to recommend like certain ways to start the ball rolling with, you know, contacting parents and asking for, I don't know, just starting this ministry of getting parents and working in partnership with them.
Cool. Do you want to get me an Inspire session?
Cool. So, you got one already. Brilliant. I think that's a really good question. And I think the key point there, I think, to start, I think the danger is, and we just fired through an hour, and sometimes the danger is we leave the room and go, oh my goodness, do you not realize how busy life is? Do you not realize how much we've got to do? And now you're expecting us to do this? But I think the reality is we've got to start somewhere. And honestly, it's a journey. And I know it sounds so cheesy, but it is a journey, and every journey you've got to start somewhere. And honestly, I think the best place to start is really getting to know the whys. Is actually, how can you create an opportunity to delve into that why? And actually honour and celebrate parents. Because the number one thing that we as parents are great at doing is thinking that we do a rubbish job. So if our narrative as the church can be, you're not doing a rubbish job, you're doing a great job, and how can we come alongside, that wins the battle. That starts the journey. It's not an us and them, it's a together. We get to start this journey together. So sometimes we need to be creative. Time, I hate Zoom. I absolutely hate it. I love being in the room. Do you know why? Because you take me out for lunch. There is something about eating a meal together. But there's also a space for Zoom. And honestly, some parent and relationship stuff, I think, works quite well on Zoom. We've seen it in our church. Why? And I know that both parents aren't always at home. I do understand that. But where there is both parents, sometimes you don't have to get a babysitter. So doing something on Zoom, so there is a place for Zoom. And this Inspire session is all about starting the conversation. I think it says it somewhere. Starting the conversation with parents. And the main thing it does, it explores those two why questions. Why is faith important to you as a parent? And why is it important your child develops a faith that lasts? We're too good to you. We've redid this during pandemic. We've done a 90-minute session that you can do in person. We've also done a 60-minute Zoom session. And to be honest, you could get that down to 40 minutes if you don't have a Zoom license. And it works really, really well. Why? Because it's not judgmental. None of our thing is going, what? You don't do that? Oh my goodness, you don't think that's important? None of it. It's all about starting the conversation wherever they're at. So to answer your question is sometimes, and it is a bit of an airy-fairy answer, because it's getting to know where parents are at. Because so often we always want to jump into the how. How do we do this? How do we do it? And I know there's a place for that. But sometimes there's nothing better than just sitting down and going, where are you at? Like, how can we support you? And I know that takes time. I do understand that. But this Inspire session is a great place to start. It explores the whys. And I think it's letting parents know it's not about being perfect. It's not about having all the answers. And I was just with a church down in Exeter last week, an Elim church, Rediscover. And I was sitting down with Mark and Nita, who lead the church there. And we're starting to explore this journey. And they're going to, one of the things they're going to do is they want to do this Inspire session, but they also recognize that the last 2 years has been horrible. So they're putting on a night, and I'm not saying you have to do this, but I was speaking to Sean, their youth pastor, earlier. He said they're going to hire a venue and take their parents out for lunch or dinner. And I know we can't practically all do that. Do you know what I mean? I'm not saying you have to do this. But they're going, okay, how then can we be creative with some of these key things? So we're eating together, having fun together, laughing together, but we're exploring those two questions. And if that's the only place they start, that's a win. Because what this does all the time, it opens the conversation to continue the journey. So that's a good place. We've got them for free over there. And there's loads of other little bits we got over there. Did you want to add?
Yeah, and you don't have to run that, like as the children's worker or the family's worker. Like this, it's got like an easy quick guide for how to run it. So the parents can actually do it together. And that's brilliant. And if you did want to like add an extra thing, but you didn't want to hire a venue, then you could, like, because we've got practical things in there, so you might want to put like some Play-Doh for one of the questions that they're going to explore, put in like a nice bag of sweeties, jelly snakes, whatever you know, or posh olives if that's how they roll, or a bottle of wine if you are going to do it like online, put something nice in, like a bit of a let's do this together.
Yeah, we saw a church that done that. They sent like a meal bag out to every single family that were doing it so they could all sit together. The church had given a sandwich or something like that. It's a brilliant idea. And a bottle of wine is always a good idea. So,
and just to add, so with Inspire, because you're not going, this is what you have to do. Like the parents are exploring it for themselves. So like I've seen where one group, they've had like a WhatsApp group after that. So then parents have been connecting with each other on that WhatsApp group. And because some of the questions are quite poignant, it raises things where parents wouldn't normally, it's not the normal, hi, I'll sit down next to you, hope you've had a nice day. You're actually like diving into it. So it gives parents who are friends permission to be either praying for the stuff about other families, but also just opening up that conversation. So I was going to say that one, I know of one family where the parent has now, for the group, for mainly the group that were on that Inspire, have set up a like connect group, for a better word, for the girls who are kind of year 5, 6, one slightly older as well. It's just that's how the family rolls. But they've one of the mums have done that because she had the time to look at what's important. And actually, when she looked at what had helped her in her faith, she realised that it was a really good connection of friends. So she's set up this girls connect group, which it's kind of across a couple of churches, but she's just set it up and she did Inspire.
That's brilliant. One of the things we say, you can see on here, so KTP campaign. Look it up on Facebook. I'm sure we can get hold of you through that. I'm guessing how many.
And we'll happily give email, phone numbers. We'll catch up on Zoom. If you take me for lunch, I'll pay for it. But seriously, this is our role. I don't think we can emphasise this enough. As an organisation, we know that the challenges ahead. There's so many challenges, and we want to play our part. And I'm so thankful to Care for the Family and for Rob to have this vision. And we haven't got all the answers, but we would love to explore it together.
That's brilliant. Question, Sam, the man. Okay, shout, Sam, shout.
I guess we'd all probably be in the same boat, but obviously now, post-pandemic, families that were at church every week are now there every other week. Every other week, families are now there once a month, and once a month, families have to come back. Have you got any tips for... Because looking at the stats and how little time we get with them, I would say that's shrunk even more now because of how inconsistent families are. My biggest frustration is that swimming lessons, guides, everything else, families seem to be able to do every week, yet church, they don't. Have you got any tips for how to get alongside families and parents and help them be more consistent to church and church groups?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, it's a good question. I would answer it with a question. I listened to Tim Alford yesterday. One of the things I really do think about this idea of reconnecting, we use this phrase reconnecting. I think we did an event called Reconnecting. But the more I think about it is,
is what are we reconnecting to? So is the goal reconnecting to the program and the provision that is church, or are we reconnecting to family? The reason why I say that is, honestly, when we go into family, when you're in family, you want to be around people. So actually, the back into attendance will become a product of belonging and family, if that makes sense. It might not happen overnight, but it will happen. Why? Because we're back into family. But the goal of, and we've done this in a booklet we put together for church leaders, is we've basically said the question to senior leaders is, the role of your children's worker will look different today than it did 2 years ago. But we have the same expectations on children's work that we did 2 years in the main part. We think this is what we do, but the reality is the ins and outs and the role looks different. So actually, I think a good, and I'm not your senior leader, but I think a good use of time for our team is actually going, how can I intentionally go and see and connect to that family? I might not see them on a Sunday morning as a senior leader right now, but we are starting to build the bridge and build the connection back to that reconnection into family. So the goal is always family, is actually how can we reconnect into that? So one of the practical things I think is actually there's more people in our community who see us as their church, but because we don't always see them on a Sunday, we don't see them as they're in our church, if that makes sense. And part of that is through the community provisions we do, whether it was schools work, whether it was toddler groups. There's people in your community who see your church as their church. So how can we look at reconnecting with them? And it might take being creative. It might take actually going, I can't do this anymore. And having honest conversations with your team, with your senior leader, is for this season, we're going to look practically how we can look at building relationship and reconnecting again. And one of the practical things we did, I used to go into our local primary school where my little girl goes. And I would go there and just do some assemblies and different things like that. And I loved it. When pandemic hit, I could no longer go into the school, like most of you. But I had a bit of a hidden agenda. My little girl goes to that school. I still wanted to get to know parents. I still wanted to kind of get involved, get to know the kids. So I found, and it's quite a large city centre school, like 600 kids go to the primary school. And I found that drop-off and pick-up time was chaos because they were doing the staggered times. So, and you saw all the teachers out there stressing out because they're trying to manage the different times and then they're running to their classes late because they're managing the yard and drop-off and all that. So I just had a conversation with the head and I said, hey, I know I can't come into the school anymore to do stuff, but would you like me to kind of, the best way I can phrase it, to be the lollipop lady, but in the schoolyard? And she was like, what do you mean? I said, I will come in a couple of days a week, let me manage the crowds. So you're not getting the grief as a teacher, because teachers were getting the grief. They were getting, oh my goodness, why can't my kids come in? You don't need that, let me do it. So I'm just talking to parents as they're coming in and going, what year are you in? And I'm just, my wife was laughing her head off because she's like, look at you, you're loving this, the control. And, but why? I didn't care about the schoolyard. I didn't care about them getting in on time. I cared about reconnecting with the people I could no longer connect with. So it's sometimes being creative in what is the goal? The goal wasn't me to do assemblies again. The goal was me, how do I connect with children and parents? So there's a different way about working, if that makes sense.
Did you have? I saw you pick up something, but I didn't know if.
I did. Mine was more just because I don't have all the answers. But, you know, like for trying to engage some people who you're like, don't really know where they are and how important this is. We've got this book, and this is like a magazine type book, and it covers different subjects. So kind of if you wanted to get these in the hands of some of the parents, so you're not saying, I don't know where you are, but you're putting something into their path that they may or may not, you know, if it's just actually that they're not prioritizing as they should do, you know, based on what's gone on and their family values, kind of having something in front of them which you're going, hey, just want to bless you. Been thinking about you guys. We know it's been quite a difficult season. And so we just want to give you know, like choose if there's people that you're like, God's put on your heart and you're like, oh, do you know what? I really haven't seen them. Just write them a little letter. You know, so you don't, those are like a 5 weeks, so you don't have to pay for that. But then, you know, like stuff like this, some of our What Bills Face postcards, you know, feel free to write something, put something in that, or say, praying for your family, about your home, or, you know, nothing too personal, nothing to freak them out, but just putting it in there, yeah, put it in their way.
And what we've found is there's two big issues which the church have faced during the COVID and as we're coming out of it. The first one is lack of volunteers. I'm sure most of you can kind of, I see a yes. So one of the things, again, I can't give you more volunteers, but maybe there's people around this whole parenting thing, there's people maybe in our congregation who maybe wouldn't see themselves serving in church, but they could be getting alongside a parent or praying for them. So sometimes it's just about changing that role slightly or bringing people on the journey. And then the second one is this, there's more pastoral issues which are coming up from the kind of ground. And a lot of parents and families are running away. So actually, they're kind of going, there's a big thing coming back into church because they're like, I've known the last 2 years the life I've lived. Not me personally, I'm not, do you know what I mean? But I've looked and gone, I've known, the reality is when there's been online church on there, me and my husband or me and my partner have been yelling at each other. And now you're saying, come back into the building? Like, I'm not good enough, do you know what I mean? So I think this is where it takes a whole church to kind of come alongside, is going, okay, are we having conversations with our senior leaders or other pastors or other leaders are going, how can we support, coming back to that five things that build faith, home, a warm, loving, affirming home, what can we do practically? How can we come alongside some people to go, do you know what? Because I think they, sometimes we build up barriers, and the longer it goes, the more difficult it gets to come back into reconnection. So I think sometimes that reconnecting in the family and how can we help practically will really help. And I know that we haven't got all the time in the world, so we can't all do
that. Yeah, one of the things that we did is we just put on a fun evening, invited everybody to come along. There's no God input in it. And we just had a cracking laugh doing all sorts of craft and bits like that. I do have, we go into about, is it 9 schools now? I can just see my head teacher if I went, I'll do your playground for you. I'm not allowed anywhere near that. There's no way. Emma, yeah, no problem. I'll let Emma in. Right? You on the plane now, not happening. Yeah. Okay, question. Either about you, I just want
to... I've got a few things, really. I just want to say thank you, guys. You guys are amazing, and what you do is awesome, and definitely going to use the Inspire. But do you recommend any other, like, longer term? So, for example, we were thinking, is there anything that's like a 6-week course, something they can invest the time in and build on each week and take stuff away? And because, you know, I think for us, we're finding, and I guess it's a little story as well to encourage others, but, you know, of all the things we've done, online services, online meeting parents, I think the best thing and the thing that encouraged us the most this year was one little small thing, the way one of the parents came in and they said, actually, we weren't coming to church today. It was cold, it was wet, it was dark, it was an evening service. And they said, the only reason we're here is because of our child. And the child literally dragged them along. They put their clothes out on the bed and they kicked a fuss and they came to church. But because of what we're doing and, you know, the lessons we're putting on, they're getting excited about it. But it then opened up a chat with the parent. And it's like natural. So I think we got parents coming and parents interested, but it's just what we can put on and how we can sort of build on that.
Yeah, no, that's good. And I love that often it is the children, isn't it, that is that driving force. Couple of things. I don't know if you've heard of Rachel Turner, Parenting for Faith. They've done a great course, and we work really closely with Rachel and the guys over there. Parenting for Faith, if you go on their website, they do a course, and there's some really practical principles. Our resources and their resources really complement each other. People often ask me, what are the difference? Oh, you must be competitors. There's no competition. We work so, we signpost people to them and they signpost people to us, because the reality is they do a slightly different thing. Parenting for Faith often will be really dive into the principles and the how. And really, there's some great, like she talks about giving windows into our faith, catch and grab prayers and things like that. Really, really good stuff. But the challenge is sometimes for some parents, they're like, oh man, that's too two out there right now, we've still got to start the conversation and start the journey. So we put together, and we were really praying as a team. We're like, that's great resource. It's amazing. It's fantastic. We don't just want to create a six-session resource because we feel we need to, but we wanted to continue and give a bridge from Inspire into a bit more deeper kind of principles and things like that. So we put together something called Raising Faith, and it's a six-session resource, and it's a mixture of Rachel Turner's on there, there's different people on there, different people bring in principles, then there's listening to families and things like that, and that can be ran in a small group, or parents can do it on their own at home. It can be downloaded for free on our website. If you like a physical copy, like DVD resource with the booklets, tell one of us and we will happily post you one for free. That's not a problem. We would love to do that. That's a great resource of diving a little bit deeper into that. I think in later on this afternoon, we will dive into some of those resources a little bit as well, but check them out. I think Raising Faith and Parenting for Faith both work to kind of dive into that.
Yeah, we've done the Parenting for Faith course, and I really recommend that. I've haven't seen yours. Yours is equally as good.
It's okay. No, it's no. Kind
of, but it is really good if you want to use that. Go on, Naomi, you shout at the nice man.
Did you say at the nice man?
Yeah, shout at the nice man.
I have quite a lot of questions, but I always do.
On that, because I know you said you had quite a lot, we're not going anywhere today, so let's eat lunch. So we'll don't think, if you haven't asked your question today, if we run out of time, you haven't missed your opportunity. That's why there's two of us here, do you know what I mean?
You probably have already answered it in terms of directing us to a specific resource. My thing is that I find it difficult to help parents to identify pockets. You know, you were talking about those pockets earlier, and I think they almost don't know that there is driving to school is a pocket, or they don't drive to school, they walk to school, or their kids get on a bus, so that's not really a pocket for them. And in terms of like cultures, some families don't sit around the table and eat together because of the nature of shift work and the handover and things like that. So do you have any tips for like teaching parents to, and like in my mind the only way I can think of it is get them to write down what a day looks like if there is a typical day for their family, and like helping them to, like, I don't know how else, like, to get them to see those.
I mean, there's a tiny bit of that within that Inspire session, and like then because the parents are together as well, so they're like hopefully be bouncing ideas off each other, and you know just what you're saying about like culturally how some families will do some things. Like, I think Inspire is also really good for that as well, because the families who actually their practice is, you know what, we will sit down and we will do this on the way to swimming because there's not enough time for you to eat tea at home, you've got to have a sandwich. Like, they get to hear that from the other families who are like, well, do you know what, Saturday morning is the only morning that we've got time to kind of have a timely breakfast, so we kind of take it slow and like kind of do something family together and find ways of bringing kind of the word of God in then.
I think one of the biggest things as well in that is empowering parents to find their space. So it's not about this works for me, so it has to work for you. So one of the things we'll do later, you know the Deuteronomy 6 scripture? Keep coming back to that, okay? The everyday moments. And what we do, and we'll do it later this afternoon, we'll rewrite that scripture for ourselves. And we ask parents to do that, and we put it on the fridge. So it's helping them realize what is the everyday moment in their day. And actually, God is big enough and wants to be involved in every aspect of that life. So it's helping them find those windows and really empowering them to find, I don't know about you, I'm more likely to do something that I enjoy. We do enough things in our life that we have to endure. Maybe you're thinking this last hour has been an endurance, Gaz. So you're speaking to the choir. But we do enough things that don't. So when it comes to, and there's enough areas of parenting which is not a joy. Do you know what I think Tim mentioned the wiping of the bum. Well, didn't he yesterday, I think, that. There's enough things that don't. But around this, find stuff which makes you come alive. So I speak to parents all the time, and I go, well, so there's this one guy in our church, Jeremy.
he is brilliant at woodwork. He loves doing it. And he was like, oh, my little boy, like, I don't get to spend time with him. We don't have conversation business. And I said, does he ever join you in the garage to build stuff? And he was like, oh, no, he wouldn't want to do that. And I said, have you asked him? And he said, no. And I said, I understand it's your time and it's not about doing it all the time. He went away and he said, oh, Josh, do you want to come help me in this? Josh's eyes lit up. They do it all the time now. Why? Because it's something Jeremy enjoys. And it's something, so it's finding those moments. So it's not always going, well, it has to look like this or it has to look like that. I, like, the Lord heard my prayer before I was a dad because my little girl loves football. She loves coming to watch football. But here's the thing. She comes, watches our local football team, Newport County. And to be honest, when the whistle blows, she just plays Barbies. It frustrates me because she doesn't really want to watch the football. What does she want to do? Come with me and eat a burger at halftime and actually meet the players because one of them is our neighbour and she thinks she's like the like queen because all the players come over to meet her. But it's spending time together. So it's sometimes helping parents to go, what are those windows? So taking that journey with that would be where I would start.
And if you're doing woodwork, if there's a boy, it's because there's power tools. Yeah. That's what they want. Okay, questions. Anybody got another question?
One over there.
I've got this young man here.
So this is quite a specific question. So sorry to those who this doesn't concern. I'm 24. And I've taken over the children's ministry from a 35-year-old woman with kids and a family. So I was wondering if you had any advice for me and those of you that this concerns, that, well, I'm not struggling as such, but if I want the parents to really know that I'm there for them and, like, they can come to me if they need anything, I've told them this, but I don't know if they feel like they can because I'm 24 and I haven't got a family, I haven't got kids. Yeah. So it is a little bit difficult.
Yeah, it's a great question, yeah. By the way. Really, yeah, really good. Do you?
I think on one level, love looks like love, doesn't it? And so you're not going to be saying to those parents, kind of, this is how to get them out of nappies. And so I think just being really frank about that and saying, do you know what, I haven't got children, but I have such a passion to see your children develop in God. You know, tell them some of the things that you are doing that they won't know. You know, tell them if you are praying about them, or tell them, you know, like, if you've bought a curriculum that covers all these different things, like, tell them, because you're appointed to do that role and you are going to be doing a great job, and it doesn't matter whether you can impart how to help a kid get out nappies, but it really does matter that you are creating a warm, affirming environment when their children go in there, that you are linking into some of these resources to resource the parents.
Yeah. And we all have a part to play. We all have a part to play. None of us are the answer to every single thing. And I think this is the powerful reminder for us as leaders and in churches, is we might be in a role, but we might not be the best equipped to do everything in that role. So how can we bring? So one of the things I would do practically is, do you know what? Is who maybe is a parent or someone even someone older that you can kind of glean some wisdom off and just go, can I just ask you some of these questions? Can I ask you that? Or if there's maybe a parent in the church you think, oh, I'm struggling, could you come alongside? So you don't have to be, I think the lie to all of us, we have to be all things to all men. Reality is, none of us are good enough to be all things to all. We will let people down. We will always, and we never, that's never our intention, but you are passionate and you are equipped to do the area that you are. So bring other people into that conversation. But just to touch on Ima, what Ima said then, which I think was brilliant, was, as parents, what are we all? We are all adults. We are all humans. I can't think of a better way to do it. So, do you know what? Sometimes I want to be seen as Gaz, not as Macy's dad. And I think there's something in that as well. So don't discount that actually you might think you might be not be able to bring the wisdom to the parenting, but I actually might need you just to encourage my soul to keep on parenting. And I think there's something in that is like, do you know what? You're not just a kids pastor, a kids leader. Like, you need to be seen as John or Mary. What, do you know what I mean? And I think there's a lot in that. So don't discount what you do carry either.
Yeah, it's amazing and great. It's kind of, I had a conversation with somebody yesterday about men in children's ministry and young men in children's ministry. So bless you and praise you for that one. I think we need a lot of that. So that's brilliant.
I mean, just on that phrase that, you know, like men in ministry and men in children's ministry, I was thinking about this the other week. It just feels like, you know, like sometimes we have these sleeping giants. You know, we've got men in church who they run companies, they sort out departments, they do all this stuff, and then they come into church and we say, oh, you just sit down, and they don't get to engage with who they are. You know, and Gaz was saying that guy about, like, right, okay, well, what about your child wanting to do that thing? You know, I think there is that call for the sleeping giants to be arisen by people doing what they're good at and church creating the opportunities for people to nurture that in the right way. So, yeah.
I had the privilege. I grew up down south with some, the church that I went to had some phenomenally wealthy men who were brilliant at running companies. The biggest bunch of immature guys you will ever come across. They were always down with the kids. They were always there, but the church never used them. They were never part of the children's ministry. But it's like these guys, they know how to do life. They know how to do stuff, but they know how to play really well. So, yeah, get your men involved in ministry. That's cool. Yes.
I really liked what you said about, you know, doing this in a completely non-judgmental way. And obviously we believe that God has entrusted children to their parents' care, not primarily to the church, not to the kids' workers, but to parents. So I just wondered, there's a risk that in talking to parents about parenting, we cross over that line into telling parents how they should do their jobs, but they're the ones who have the authority to do that job given by God. So how do we avoid crossing over that line and telling parents what they should be doing?
Thanks, Ivor. The microphone was literally poking me in the cheek then. Thanks, Ivor. That's a really, really good question. And there's a line. And the reality is, like anything, we get it right and we get it wrong. And I think the maturity is when we get it wrong, we say sorry and we've got it wrong. But I would rather have to apologize and my heart be pure to help than just stay on the sidelines. Does that make sense? And we have a phrase in our church which says, and kind of taken out of context, but you'll hear the heart, is better to have wildfire than no fire. And because actually wildfire, like, do you know what? When I work with people, I want them to have a passion. I'd rather work with them to help them, guide them and mold them rather than a bunch of people who just sat there and you're like, why do you do this? I'd rather be able to go, okay, well, actually, we were a little bit too enthusiastic in that moment, or we stepped over. And I think through honest conversations. But honestly, I haven't met many parents, and I'm speaking for myself as well, who doesn't want help. But often, going back to the values and this season where we've asked a lot of hard questions, we actually don't always know where to explore those answers. And I think that's so true in churches. We have many people who fill our seats every single Sunday full of so many questions, full of so much hurt, but we feel, if I be honest or ask that question, I'm going to be looked upon. I've had it, like, working for Care for Family, I love my job. But the amount of times, you know what, Tim was speaking, imposter syndrome? Amount of times where I have to get up and go, who am I to speak on parenting? Like, we all need that little bit of encouragement. So I think there is a line, and I think it's coming to the why again and coming down to what is our role as a church. We can't run the race for them. We can't run their life for them. We can help overcome or help coach. So actually, when it comes to the responsibility and the decisions, we're not the decision makers, but we can help give insight and wisdom. And I think that's a slightly different angle. We're not there to go, you need to make this decision. If they come to us for advice,
we help coach and we help go, well, and again, we might not feel best positioned to do that either in that.
And I think it's easier for a resource to be telling a parent than you to be, oh, come sit with me. It's easier to, you know, like point them in that direction.
That's a really good, and on that, like, I think what's really good, sorry, on the like resource, I think that's really good. What the resource doesn't do is connect and actually create safe space. The resource teaches, any resource, any training, what is its role? Is to equip and is train. It's not to walk the journey. What's our role? To walk the journey. So maybe we've just watched a resource and it's talked about boundaries or things like that, and there's tears flowing. What's our role? Arm around the shoulder. So I think that's a really, really good point, is let's get wisdom, let's get that in, and how can we break it down to application?
Yeah, and I think what you were saying earlier about the coach with the athlete is that thing of the parent may well be going through it, going over those hurdles, but you're the one that's alongside them. So when it goes wrong for the parent, they're coming, and it is that thing of yeah. of just putting your arm around somebody, because we've fostered, it's probably over 30 children that we've fostered now. We've got two of our own. So people go, oh, you must know everything. I learn far more from other people than I think I've ever learned. It's like other people's wisdom coming to you, and it's like everybody thinks, oh, you must know what you're doing. You're all these different. No, I haven't got a clue what I'm doing. Well, I haven't got a clue what I'm doing anyway. I'm going to get off through the door. But Emma, if you need parenting advice from Emma, that's great. If you want to know how to hurt children with a chainsaw or something, I'm your man. Yeah.
Oh, goodness.
Why not let kids play with...
Yeah, you said how to hurt a child.
No, 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 no.
Is that not what... Did anyone else hear that?
I didn't... No, not physically, kind
I've
of.
I've got no problem with using them.
Let the children play with tools. Yeah.
Thanks, Gareth.
Thank you so much for what you shared already. I'm just wondering a couple perhaps answers or insight into two kind of more niche areas of families that maybe we haven't covered or don't fit into the tradition on. I'm thinking in the context of single parents or those where the parents, one of them is a Christian and one of them is not. So how can we support those families in those specific contexts?
Brilliant question, brilliant.
I think addressing it. So for families who, like one parent is a Christian and one isn't, like having that conversation with them and saying, you know, I know that we sometimes send the pictures home, you know, and just kind of have that discussion with them. I mean, I know one parent and the other parent isn't a Christian, but the way that their family is, it's okay for her to talk about faith, and it's okay for the daughter in that setting to talk about it. And she was saying the other week how actually they do come to church, but they don't come to church all the time. But her daughter is picking up because she is just living out her faith. And she was saying the other day, where her daughter was quite small, she'd said, I can't find my Barbie. Please can we pray? And, you know, that is a household where one does have faith and one doesn't.
Three girls who are actually Muslim, and the reason they come to church is because their auntie is a Christian, and she like shares with me all the stories. Mostly, it's a miracle that they come to church. They started the Great Mosque, and now they just come to church. And one of the things that happened was through the worship, they expressed themselves. Some of the songs they joined the choir, and some of the songs that they learned, they then went back. Friend said that she went round to her mum's house one day, and her sister was walking around singing "There is power in the name of Jesus," and she's a Muslim, and she's walking around singing "There is power in the name of Jesus," and that's because of the child. Mm-hmm. So I think worship
very
is
good.
Really key. Like
it's great.
Our kids singing and songs is a natural thing that we all do, whether we're Christian or non-Christian. So when we embed a heart of worship into our kids, they take that back to their homes, and God naturally moves through that and the words that they sing. So that's just
it's very, very good. It's,
And never discount, even though that pie chart, sometimes the narrative can be like, oh man, it's a bit overwhelming. We have 1 hour or 2 hours. God can do anything in that 1 hour or 2 hours. And so keep on sowing those seeds. Keep on sowing that seed, because it will produce a harvest. And I just think one of the things, coming back to that wider church family, is, do you know what? We're in this together. Is actually, okay, I might be a single parent, or I might be, but there's other people who can be on the journey to be praying for you, to be able to impart into the kids. So I think bringing people on that journey is important. And then the last one, especially from a non-Christian and a Christian in the parenting thing, it's wisdom. It's praying for wisdom. And sometimes, say it's the mum or the dad, whoever's the one who comes to church, it's having those honest conversations of going, do you know what? It is sometimes having that conversation with your partner. What does faith at home look like? We go to church, we believe this, but what are those, not parameters, but what, there's a wisdom. There's a wisdom in kind of having those conversations. And I think it's a reality in many of our churches. It's a massive reality. So I think there are, I know we've done a couple of blogs. I can dig them out. Where from parents' point of view of where they're in that situation, because I think that speaks louder than me, whose wife is a Christian. Do you know what I mean? So we can dig them out and send. And I think Parenting for Faith has done one or two as well. So if that's something which has rang a bell in people, give me your email and I'll happily next week dig out and I'll send you some links, because trying to navigate our websites to find that, we'll see you next year with it. Do you know what I mean? So, but we'll happily try. Because sometimes even be able to encourage a parent with another parent's story is really helpful.
We talk about this bar that we have and how parents have 2,000 to 3,000 hours per year with that same kid. It's about opening up ourselves as kids' ministry leaders, not just to the kids that we love, but it's opening up our lives to the parents for those kids as well. You know, you might think that you have those kids for 1 hour, but by opening up yourself, you open up the other 7 days of the week for that parent. Yeah. So they can avail of your time. It's a little bit what we talked about with role models yesterday, that you're opening up your life to these other aspects of ministry, that you're not tunnel visioned in your ministry to think, I just work with kids. My job to make sure they get the Bible, but rather you're opening up your whole life to the concept of family. That's what God did.
I mean, on that, as you serve church and serve community, and you open up your life to that, and you know, kind of we sometimes in church we talk about, you know, kind of two. Sometimes we go the 2.4, and that there are lots of families that don't fit into those categories. And so I was in a family and we had a few bereavements over a period of time. So I went from being in a household that was technically, you know, two parents, 2.4, more than four, to then going into what would be considered a single parent situation, living in a high-rise block of flats, which kind of at that point, the consistency in my life was actually church community. And a lot of them, they didn't really know me and they didn't actually know my situation. But I was, when I think of the, you know, when we talked about the five things that build faith, there were people who weren't in my family context that actually showed these. And, you know, now in hindsight, I'm like, oh, well, one was a divorced person who used to work and just support. Another one was someone that, there's not a theme, she was also divorced. But they put in these core things that that my family at the time couldn't give. So in just, you know, like you were saying, in just responding and opening yourself up to those families, you are doing so, so, so much.
My question's around families who are either still considered vulnerable in COVID pandemic situation, or maybe they have a child with special educational needs or disabilities. They've been hit really hard. in this current time, is there any resources that are specifically tailored that could be, or adaptable, that could work in that scenario? And any tips you may have on engaging with families in those situations in a like real way?
Yeah, one of the resources I've really come across, which is really helpful, I think it's through Urban Saints. So there's a guy called Mark Arnold who works with Urban Saints, and they really have invested a lot of resource into supporting children and parents from that kind of challenging circumstances. So there's a real... And what they've also really done is started to take their regular resource, if you want to call it what they normally do, but then Mark's going, okay, how does that actually apply? Some of the things we take for granted, what does a parent, how can we support a parent in that? So I would say Urban Saints, what I found, is a really good resource. And Mark Arnold is a really good guy to follow on Twitter, to be perfectly honest, because he's always signposting to resources. Practically, as care for the family, not specifically around this like faith at home and that, but we have support for parents who have got children with additional needs. We also have support for parents, single parents. So we have stuff as an organisation through our website. This specifically on our website, children with additional needs. Single parent families, and there's some great resource there to help parents practically just in everyday life, the ups and downs, because there's different challenges. From a more faith at home point of view, I would say out of those five key elements that builds faith, that belonging is a crucial one to look at. How can we create a belonging when people don't see them all the time because of different situations like you faced? So how do we actually help them realize they're still part of the family, even though they may be. So we've got families in our church who's on a weekly basis, maybe children come in the car park and then that's as far as they get because of different challenges and they're straight back in the car, but they're still very much part of our family. So how can we look at still creating that belonging? But there's some of the practical resources in there. Was there anything? No? But if, again, if you want to dive deeper into any of that, or there might even be some more expertise in the room on that, but those websites would be really useful. Mark Arnold's a great guy as well.
I would say also from we've got some stuff going on in our church. Connect with the parents. We've got quite a severely autistic lad that comes to our church. Some weeks he doesn't want to come in, some weeks he does. You never know. Sunday morning we get a message on WhatsApp. But open communication with the parent. And also, if you've got children coming, I always talk to children before I talk to a parent. And I will often tell the parent, I'm not prepared to talk to you while I'm talking to the child. I can be quite rude to parents because actually I'm there to serve the children. So if you've got children that additional needs that are coming in, talk to them. I spent about 15 minutes just talking to one lad that had a walker. Finished talking to him knowing that he needed chocolate, he needed sweets, he needed all this. And I spoke to his granddad and he just turned to me and said, thank you. Nobody has ever spoken to him about what he needs. Brilliant. Then nothing that he told me was of any use, but that kid thought that he was the most important person.
Yeah.
So open communication. Children will feel a part of something if you include them in it. We've got another lad that's just started our church who's autistic, going through the process. And Mum said to me, he doesn't like new things. He doesn't like coming into new things. And she was really amazed that every Sunday he's asking to come to church. And I said, it's because I talked to him. She said, nobody talks to him. I talk to him as if he's a grown-up. Mum will then tell me what he needs that he hasn't said, because children will never tell you. ask a child what it wants. It will tell you. Ask a child what it needs. They ain't going to tell you. They're going to tell you what they want. Mum will tell you what you need, but talk to the kids. I think we've got time for one more question. Over here. Sorry, I didn't see your hand up. I'm sorry.
Hi there. Thank you for the talk. I've got kind of like two kind of questions. One was, how can we support families where maybe, you know, they live with mum and then they visit dad on weekends. So sometimes they're maybe in church twice a month,
yeah,
instead of the full month. So how can we support them better? And also, we've started having, we recently had a child who was diagnosed with anxiety. And it's kind of the first time we've had a child that's been like openly diagnosed with anxiety. We've been fortunate, two members, to have a mental health awareness course. We've been through that recently. So basically, we went through the course, and after that, we found out he'd been diagnosed with anxiety. But, you know, following the pandemic, you know, mental health is a big issue, and like, how can we support that better with, you know, maybe helping parents to have discussions as well about more, I suppose, taboo subjects as such as well.
Yeah, great questions. So the first one, mum, dad not living together, and maybe only seeing them sporadically or a couple of times a month. My sister-in-law lives in London. I see her very sporadically. I could have said my mother-in-law and I see her too much, but that would be a running joke, wouldn't it? But so they live in London. I see them every now and again, or we see them a bit more often sometimes, but there's a season. So some months we might see them four times in the space of 2 months, then we might not see them 4 months, but they're still my family. So every time they step foot into my house, they're welcomed in. And I know it's a little bit different, but do you know what I mean? But there's not a thing of, and there's various reasons why maybe they haven't come, or maybe even like my wife felt they should have come. As soon as they turn up the door, it's like, come on in. How can we make you feel at home again? You might not have been. So I would apply a similar principle that with the families we work with, whether, again, out of COVID, there's a thing of, you should be here more often. And I get that, there's a thing. But do you know what? When they're in, come on, we are so thankful you're here. We have missed you. And so I think approaching a similar thing of that is, and the worst thing I think sometimes we can do in situations like that is, and there's a balance, do I say, yeah, I'll say it, is sometimes we like the narrative, or if you weren't here last week, you missed out. But what does that say to the kid who actually couldn't get here last week? Because, and I don't quite know how to square that up, I was just thinking of that there. So I would maybe be a bit mindful of some of our language in that, because, do you know what, we don't know what goes on at home. So there's that. And then the anxiety, and I know Imra will jump in with a practical resource there. One of the anxiety for parents, I think what you picked up on is we talked about children's workers not being all things to all men. Imra joked earlier that she didn't go to parent school, but there's so much truth in that. That we as parents, we as individuals, we're not equipped or trained for every scenario that we face. So how can we come alongside parents and actually go, when some circumstances like that, the first thing we go back to is guilt. We go back to pressure, go, I should have done things differently. So how can we change the narrative to, like, we're not focusing on the past. We're actually, how do we maybe, I might not feel equipped to walk the journey with you, but how do we get some great help for you as a whole family? So I would re-echo again, we don't need to be all things to all people. We really don't. We really don't. And our heart is always to help. And one of the greatest things that I've learned in my role with Care for the Family is we as an organisation know what we're about. And if we don't know what we're about, we're not going to pretend we know it. But we're going to commit to finding the answer with you. So you might come and go, we've got this challenge in our family. And I might be like, okay, well, we don't have the resource. But like I said earlier about, I'll happily go on the website and the internet. I will do that. So let's be committed to signposting to people as well and walking that journey.
And Catherine had written a book, and she'd started it before the lockdown. And then during the lockdown, she added a chapter, just being aware that actually things are going to be so different, and like our children are going to come out of the lockdown very different to how, well, depending on how the child is, different to how they came out. So she's written this book, which is called A Mind of Their Own, Building Your Child's Emotional Wellbeing in a Post-Pandemic World. And I think, did you win the raffle? Right, well, we will get that to you. You can have a read and see which bits might resonate with that parent and maybe pass it on to the parent.
Resource on it now, or we're going to be. So there's going to be a practical resource that can be downloaded online. Don't quote me on it because there's so much going on. But there will definitely be something soon where you can practically watch something together. And that's not the answer to everything. We do know that. There's that. But honestly, prayer as well, of like praying for wisdom. I think wisdom's a really important thing in that. Did you want to add to it?
Brilliant, please. Do you want Michael, do you want to say for you? I'll give you that one.
I just wanted to add to that, because I've got two sons, and they every other weekend they're with their dad, and I've just started running the Sunday school where I work now. And so I've come up with a little schedule this term, which we're going to start doing a Case for Christ with the youth, but we're going to do it fortnightly so that when they're in the building, we're carrying that journey together. But then on the other weeks, we're going to watch some content that's available on YouTube that I found. It's about missionaries, and it's like an animation or something. So it's something that the children that aren't in the building can watch it where they are, good, because they also have access to that. So it was very just good thinking about, I just thought I'd share that as well.
That's really helpful. Thank you. Yeah. No, great. And there's so much, I know, especially on, like, I don't think I've been to many events where there's been so many questions. I love it. Thank you. But I do understand that there's some of them that maybe need to be dived deeper. And maybe that's something where the Limitless team, yeah, like, there might be some things, I'm not telling you how to do your job, but how practically that post box
right in there
might be. But equally, we're here as well today, and we're not going anywhere. Yep. We might be going back to home, but we're still contactable. Do you know what I mean? In that.
And we can always book you guys
for
another thing. So brilliant. Thing. Guys, I know we've got them for another session, but give these guys a really big round of applause. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.